Welcome to Camping Out, a podcast about interesting people, stories, adventures, and their impact in the world, usually through the lens of outdoor adventure. I am Dan Camp, and at the campfire tonight, we are sitting with the person at the head of the crusade for more body-inclusive outdoor gear, Ash Manning. Ash is a plus-size adventurer who is bringing the lack of representation and gear options for plus-size people to the attention of the masses, often by using her enormous sense of humor to bring home the point. As someone who struggled with body positivity since they were young, Ash is now loving herself like never before and encouraging every person of every shape and size to do the same. All right, campers, it's time to pull your chair up close to the fire. If you haven't already, make sure you're subscribed to the Camping Out podcast. And maybe go ahead and pour yourself your preferred fireside beverage, bourbon, whiskey, tea, whatever it is. And get ready to listen to Ash Manning. Welcome to Camping Out. I am Dan Camp, and this evening, I'm sitting around the campfire with whitewater guide extraordinaire, the queen of outdoorsy TikTok, and a champion for all body types being represented in nature's wild places, Ash Manning. A plus-size adventurer, Ash is spreading the good vibes and showing that every person belongs in the outdoors. From her love of whitewater rafting, epic hiking treks, and absolutely hilarious videos on social media, she is no stranger to a great adventure and bringing joy to others. Ash Manning, welcome to Camping Out.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for having me. How are you today?
I am pretty swell. It was one of those days where like everything was kind of crazy at work. It was just super hectic, but I had this to look forward to after everything was over. And like the sun was shining and my chiropractor told me my back's looking good. So I was like, okay, you got to take like the silver linings here out of this day. And so yeah. I've been really looking forward to meeting with you. So thanks for taking some time.
Yeah. It's great to actually finally like meet up with you. I've been so like out in the middle of the woods and you know so it's been hard I know to get in touch with me and kind of getting back to you, but it's really good about your chiropractor. I am a huge advocate for going to the chiropractor. It's good to hear about that.
I couldn't agree more. It's been life-changing for me. The first question I always ask is, we're kind of getting settled in here, is what is your preferred fireside beverage? People bring something different every time, so what are you drinking tonight? I got a cold, so some Ricola, but other than that,
I am through and through a dirt bag, so I would have to say probably PBR. Right. but recently I've been on a seltzer kick.
Got to, it's summertime.
Yeah. But right now I am currently drinking a Propel because I need my electrolytes, you know?
Right. That is so awesome. I'm having a beer, a local beer, actually. I have a really good friend who is visiting, and he picked up a 12-pack when he came in last night. And so it's the Lewis and Clark Brewing Company Prickly Pear Pale Ale. That was a mouthful.
Oh, yes.
It's tasty. It's tasty. Good way to kick off the evening.
Yeah, totally.
So I want to get into the nitty gritty here, and because there's a lot to talk about. You have been super busy and super visible in the outdoor industry lately, which has been super fun to watch. I mean, your videos have been incredible. I mean, the amount of traction that those have gotten. I see everybody I know in the outdoor industry sharing your stuff. It's really incredible to see. but before we get into that and your short film that you just did and everything else you're working on, I want to learn a little bit more about you. So I'd love for you to introduce yourself, how you got into the outdoors, whether it was early in your life or later, and we'll kind of go from there.
Okay. So if you don't know, my name's Ashley, but I go by Ash. That's what I prefer. Which is a little counterproductive because I can't change my Instagram name now. I mean, I can, but I'm not going to.
Well, on the topic of the Instagram name, where did yard sale come from?
Oh yeah. That is my trail name. Okay. It's basically because when I was doing my attempt at the AT, I would get to camp and turn my bag upside down and just dump everything out all over camp. And it was pretty early on and people were trying to name me. And there was this older gentleman named CC, and I was like, hey man, sorry for my yard stuff, because he's like tripping all over my stuff. And I was like, sorry about that. And he was like, oh yeah, that's a trail name. And I was like, I'm not going to take yard sale. Cause you know, I had this idea right in my head that I was going to get this trail name and get it like tattooed on my body. Like I had met somebody named Phoenix who had a Phoenix on her body. Yeah. I was like, yeah, that'd be badass. And then I ended up with yard sale and I'm like, oh.
Did you get a tattoo of it or no?
No, but I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking coming around about to it. Yeah, I'm coming around to it. I think it's kind of funny.
Yeah. Okay, sorry for interrupting. I had to ask a question.
Oh, no. It's all good. Basically, my dad and my uncle were huge influences in my, like, outdoor life really early on. I was, like, kind of brought up in the mountains of Georgia, rural Appalachia, and my dad is Georgia DNR. I was always kind of like outdoorsy. I lived kind of far up in the middle of the woods and my friends and I kind of had nothing better to do usually when we were kids. So we'd go hiking and tromping around the woods and kind of playing in creeks and such. Mm-hmm. And as I got older, I kind of was like, oh, like people with my body type don't do this. So I actually stopped being an outdoorsy person for a little bit, but it's in my blood. So I couldn't help it. I definitely like kind of just got pulled back into it. Right. Hiking and rafting and whitewater and backpacking.
Yeah. With the father and the DNR, I imagine like you kind of had this gateway, if you will, of like being introduced not on like the surface level of the outdoors, but like playing in the mud and like identifying things. And so was your experience with your dad as far as like his knowledge of the outdoors?
Oh my gosh. He knows like everything, it feels like.
Yeah.
Like I feel like my dad knows everything. My mom also knows everything, but in a different way, you know. But my dad, like we'd be like walking around in the woods and he'd be like telling us scientific names of trees and bugs and mm-hmm. you know, animals. Had a like really intimate like relationship with animals. Like we always had some kind of wildlife that we were taking care of. So, you know, those like experiences of like, my dad would get a call and be like a mama possum being struck by a car and she's passed away, but we're nursing her babies back to health, or there's a deer fawn we're nursing back to health. So it was like really special. Like I wouldn't call them pets. We did have a couple of like possums as pets and a raccoon, but like, but like for, I had these like really intimate, like loving experiences of like nursing animals back to health. And it was cause my dad would have to bring them home and then we'd find a rehabilitation center for them. And yeah, I think, as far as wildlife goes, like that kind of sprung my love for wildlife, mm-hmm. you know, protecting wildlife and loving the forest, you know? So my dad had a huge impact as far as the way that I see and view like other creatures and the forest and protecting it and environmentally friendly, you know.
So you said you kind of had this moment where you're like, people like me aren't doing these things in the outdoors. Like maybe this isn't a space I belong in. I imagine that was like a fairly tough moment for like a young person to go through. So I guess what was your journey through those thoughts and like what helped you get reintroduced to being in the outdoor world?
So I guess that really kind of started like towards the end of high school, right out of high school. I still wanted to be an adventurous person, but I was actually dating like a pretty abusive partner and, it was really tough, like emotionally and physically and like, you know, mentally everything was like really hard during those times. And it's also like such a coming of age time in your life where you're like, what am I even doing? I want to go to college. Do I want to go to college? I don't know. So I just remember, going on a hike one day with my friends and I could not keep up at all. And I was breathing so hard. They didn't care. They never cared, but mm-hmm. I felt like I was, you know, a burden. I saw nobody else on the trail my size. No one made clothes my size, gear my size, but I still had this like wildfire in me, you know, the itchy feet. I still had this like goal. I think for about like 3 years ish, I was like, no, I don't do this. Like I've got to lose weight first. And that's just not the case.
Yeah.
But you know, coming out of that relationship and getting better, like mentally, emotionally, I just kind of started walking in the woods alone. And I was going on hikes by myself. And sometimes like my friends would join and that was really nice. And then like I made a bunch of college friends and they all liked hiking and they didn't care that I walked slow. And one of my good friends, Carter, I've known her for a very long time. She took me rafting for the first time and it was kind of instant. I was like, wow, I really love this. And I remember like this thought going through my head, like, am I hiking or like doing these things to like seem cool? Like, is this who I am? Like, you know, very coming of age, figuring out that I love the outdoors. Because, you know, people would go up and do like the Instagram photos and I was like, am I just doing it for that? Like, is that why I'm doing this? Do I just need to show people that I'm like cool?
Right.
Or do I actually love this? And sometimes, yeah, I didn't like it because I was like, oh, this is hard. Like my feet fucking hurt. Like, you know, right. Whatever. But like, yeah. But I figured out that, yeah, this was really what I was into and really what I loved. And diving into the culture of like dirt baggery with rafting, I loved it there. I loved the people I met, the lessons. Felt like I was learning so much just from like kind of deep diving into the outdoors.
Yeah. And I feel like when you ask those questions of yourself, like, what am I doing this for? Is this for me or is this for likes? Is this for Instagram? Am I doing this because it's what I think other people think that I should do? Like, you got to ask that question of yourself to truly, I guess, invest yourself and fall in love with your passions and your hobbies and things like that.
Yeah. And this was before I was even like content creating. Like, I was just like normal old me. Like, I was like, am I trying to like prove this to somebody? Like, Who am I trying to prove something to? Like, big people don't do this. Like, but then I was like, no, I love this. So
how did you get into whitewater?
My friend Carter took me rafting and I was like, wow, this is awesome. And I applied to be a raft guide. And the manager at the time, oddly enough, looked me up and down and said, oh, we have no more. we're not hiring any more raft guides. But then hired somebody that same day. He referred me to the zipline guide, to the zipline manager. And she's, I haven't talked to her in a long time, but she's a good person and kind of was like, yeah, come on. Like, she didn't see me any different than anybody else. Knew my challenges were going to be there, but she was willing to work with me through them, which I'm very thankful for. Another one of my managers that I worked for, her name's Karen, actually. But she's not
that's
a
the
Karen.
Most unfortunate name to have in 2021.
I know. But no, she's amazing. And she was really encouraging of like, you know, me going and being a raft guide, even if that meant I wasn't going to work for her anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a lot of support. And then since I had my foot in the door with the zip line, I switched over to rafting. Went through raft guide school, did the whole thing. It felt like everything I did was like, I had to work like twice as hard.
Yeah.
Whether that's true or not, because I feel like it is, but I know that other people have their opinions and that's fine. But I felt like every time I did something, I had to work like twice as hard. And one of my very good like friends who also went through that guide school, he recognized that too. So, yeah.
And so what companies have you worked for and like what rivers have you operated on?
I'm not going to say some of the companies.
That's fine. That's fair.
But I have worked on the Chattooga, like down that splits South Carolina and Georgia. And I've like part-time worked on the Ocoee, the Nantahala, mm-hmm. and the Pigeon. And those are all kind of in the south. And then I went out west and I worked on the Gates of Lodore and the Yampa. And those are multi-day rivers. Those are canyons. And now I'm back over here on the east coast. I'm working in the New River Gorge this year and hopefully on the Gauley. Yeah. So I'm with Ace. I can plug them since I'm working for them.
And so you've done some pretty, I mean, just the rivers that you've been on for people who don't know geographically where they are, you've gone from like the crown jewels of the Southeast and then went out and did some of the most prized multi-day trips out in the West. What other adventures have you had that you would put as like some of your favorites or things that where you kind of felt like you were pushing yourself in building yourself into the person that you are today?
Definitely the Grand Canyon. I've done it twice and I'm going to be doing it a third time this December and I'm so stoked.
Yes.
So I'd say the largest like two that were like pinnacles of my life that like are my grandest adventures right now are the Grand Canyon and the Appalachian Trail, my attempt to through hike. But the Grand was like, there's something in that canyon.
Mm-hmm.
There's just something down there and it's beautiful and amazing and wonderful. And like that water and, spending like 25 days away from technology.
Right.
Is really healthy. and you know, standing there, like the first time I went was 2016 and the second time I went was 2019. And my first time, it was the first time I'd ever rode a boat. And I was like, what am I even doing out here? I don't even know whitewater that well. Like I'm in my second year of raft guiding. I don't even understand whitewater as well as I should. And then like going out there the second time and having more confidence and like really like understanding, okay, I can do this. And, you know, having both like amazing lines and then also messing it up. I think that it's really important to screw things up and learn lessons. And the Grand Canyon definitely taught me how to screw things up, but also how to like, you know, be a champion and run lava falls, like with the best line, you know, like absolutely style it.
Right. That's awesome. And you said you did an attempted through hike on the AT. So how many miles did you get in? And then what made your decision to get off of it?
I made it. What is it? It's 982, something around there.
That's an insane amount of mileage. I mean, I go on like a 10-mile hike and I'm like, all right, I'm going to nap all day tomorrow. So that's so impressive.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I'm like kind of hard on myself because I'm like, oh, I didn't finish. Like, oh my God, I only did this much. And then when I talk to people, they're like, you only did like 900 miles. That's ridiculous.
That's how I feel. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't even imagine doing that.
Yeah. I mean, I like at some point it's so interesting because when I tell people I didn't finish, I think they assume it's because like I'm a big girl. But at that point, after walking 900 miles, it doesn't matter like at all. Like my muscles were there. My body was working like a machine. I came off the trail because I got sick. I got sick with Giardia and it like ruined my physical health and my mental health and like everything. I was like dehydrated, totally malnourished, just not healthy. So I came off the trail and the big plan was to go home and get better and spend some time with my family, come back and finish. But I came back and I was raft guiding for a little bit. And I actually tore my ACL.
While guiding?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I was like, shit, I can't go and finish the trail this year, you know? So.
Wow. Do you plan to go back and maybe finish that last section?
Yes. Yes. I totally plan to. I want to go. So I was going northbound. I want to go southbound this time around. Start up in Maine and walk down. And if I get to the spot where I got off and I'm like, yeah, I'll just continue going, then I will. But, you know, we'll see when that happens.
So you just did a short film with Tommy Corey, who has the coolest Instagram handle. Is it Twerking in the Dirt?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. I was dying twerking laughing. I was like, that's a great handle. He did a short film on you and it's called All Bodies and it's very powerful. I mean, the beginning of the film, I just felt myself like, I was like goosebumps, you know, you're standing there and like reciting like terrible things those are things that you've heard in your life. I was assuming.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Those are like Instagram comments, like that kind of rattle around in my brain sometimes.
I mean, yeah. So anybody that's listening, you got to watch this. I'll tag it in the show notes. But all I could think, I mean, I paused it after like the first 2 minutes and I was like, holy crap. And I was standing in my backyard and I was like, what kind of like vulnerability and confidence does it take to stand there and like to put this out into the world and be like so brutally honest about like, these are the disgusting things that people have said to me as a person. But you stood there with like such grace. And then you tell the story of like your personal journey. And you know, finding gear that fits and people doubting you and all everything that encompasses being a plus size person in the outdoors. So I guess my first question is like, did you feel like vulnerable in that moment, or did you feel confident and powerful? What did it feel like to get that first scene?
Oh, that part of the interview was tough. We had discussed like what we were going to do, obviously. And, we had done all this filming and we had this beautiful week. It was like, we went rafting, we partied and we like ran around the Southeast. We were in Georgia and South Carolina and North Carolina. And we were just like going to all these gorgeous places. And I knew what was coming. I knew like the vulnerable side. Like I knew that I needed to, you know, talk about this. And it's something that was like in my head for a long time, cause since we had even discussed it. And when the interview part came to be, I was like, I don't know how I'm gonna do this, you know, like I felt more anger than like sadness. And like Tommy got me a little drunk.
Nice.
You know, we drank some wine and chit chatted and then we set up for the interview. And that first part, he was like, all right, we discussed this, you know, do you need to like get your phone, whatever, whatever. And I was like, no, I know exactly like the things that people have said to me. And, you know, it starts off like not as harsh. It starts off with like the classic, like you're fat, you know, whatever.
Right. But
then it kind of moves into like the things that people have said to me. And I showed my dad and I think that he got really upset. And he was like, why are people saying these things to you? And I was like, dad, people are just mean. Like it's something that's been going on for years for me, you know, like at this point it's like water off a duck's back, but some of those things do like stick.
Yeah.
The ones about death, like the ones about like my family and death, like, you know, I'm not going to sit here and like lie to anybody and be like, yeah, doesn't bother me at all.
Right.
Cause it does, you know, there's messages, DMs, people just create fake accounts. They'll comment. I've had to limit my comments. You know, people are just mean and that's that. But, I was so nervous. I felt like I was like giving my entire heart to a bunch of people I don't even know. And, the vulnerability gave me anxiety. I was like, I'm telling these people these awful things that people have said to me. And I know what's going to happen. More people are just going to say mean things to me. And that's what I thought. That's how I felt. I was like, just more people are just going to like be assholes to me. And that's it. Like I was so like afraid from the interview to the time that you released. I was like nervous, lots of anxiety. Tommy was really great at like kind of relieving some of that and being like, no, it's going to be fine. And he was right. I mean, yeah, there were like a few people that were assholes, but,
there's always going to be assholes.
Yeah. And Astral, oh my gosh, Astral, they're just this beautiful, wonderful, amazing company. Like they're just so just full of like gorgeous, wonderful, beautiful people that really believe in getting people out here and everything. So it was hard. It was hard to watch for me. When I first saw it, I was like, oh man, I can't believe I said those things. I'm so nervous.
Yeah. know? I mean, you take the stage and it's just so powerful. And you like, I think of Beyonce, like when she comes out on stage. I do. That's why I was like, oh my gosh, she's got like Queen Bee vibes coming into this film right now. And like you just commanded this audience. And I learned a lot just listening to you talk. And I think like that is so important because there's a lot of things that haven't been talked about in a lot of different realms of the outdoors. And people are talking about them now. And this is a super important one. And I'm glad that you are kind of leading the charge in it, which I think is super cool. How was the reception from people that reached out to you? Did you have a lot of people like immediately like, oh my God, girl, this is amazing? Or do you have the haters? What was the general consensus?
Yeah, there were haters, but they were not like, they were overshadowed greatly by the love. I mean, I'm still getting a lot of love. The response at first was actually so overwhelming. It crashed my phone.
Oh my God.
I like could not open Instagram for a good chunk of the day when we released it. Messages, comments, shares, likes, like everything. It was just exploding my Instagram. I had to take it off of my phone and re-log in. It was kind of crazy. I was like, oh my God. I was like, how do I even like deal with this? So that was cool. But at first I didn't know how to like say thank you to everybody. Say like, oh my gosh, yeah, thank you. Like I wanted to respond to every single person, but it's really difficult when there's like a bunch of people that are like, I relate, or I showed my daughter. But like, you know, even if I didn't like respond to a lot of them, I still saw so much and was like, whoa, like this is an overwhelmingly like positive response and people are really connecting with this and like understanding and like really having their hearts like wrenched because this is them too. And so many people relate to this story. There's so many people. I think the ones that really got to me were like the moms that were reaching out and being like, my daughter loves hiking. She's scared to get outside. I showed her your video and now like we're planning a hike together. And I'm like, oh my God. Yeah.
Hell that gives me like chills.
I was like, oh my God. Yes, yes, yes. And like, you know, I think it's important to talk about like, there's this juxtaposition of people that like, they want fat people, big people, plus size people to lose weight. And I don't like talking about weight loss because if you're a big person or if you've ever been on like any kind of diet, you know that a lot of times you're going to fail and it sucks because it's not like a willpower thing. You can lose 90 pounds, but the statistics of like diets failing are massive.
Yeah.
So it's like, why not just live a healthy lifestyle? And at some point it's like, well, I want to find an activity, a physical activity that keeps me feeling good, happy, healthy. And my activity is this, hiking or whatever. And so many people want to be like, lose weight. And it's like, I'm just trying to like live like, and be healthy. Like, I don't know. So it's kind of nice because I think a lot of people have also that are my friends or my peers or my coworkers have seen the video and they're like, whoa, wait, we need to talk about this. I'm like, yeah, this is a conversation. I'd love to have it with you.
Right.
So that's been really nice.
Yeah, I'm sure. And it is, I mean, like I said earlier, it's just, we're having so many conversations right now and I want all of them to be heard equally. And I want people to like ask the tough questions and to maybe hear a tough answer and like be open to changing their mind on something. And just, I don't know, the coolest thing you can do, I think, is to be like, huh, I didn't think of it that way. I think you're right.
Yeah.
Maybe I was wrong. What do you see as the greatest barriers for getting more plus size people into the outdoors?
Honestly, gear. I think gear is probably the biggest hurdle. Gear and representation. Yeah. Like you can, it's this odd thing. It's like, there's a lot of companies that want to claim to be like size inclusive and like, right. Oh, we have the gear. And it's like, okay, well, a 2XL isn't actually that inclusive. And then also you don't show any of your models,
yes,
you know, wearing your gear that are bigger. And it's one of those things where like, I've had this talk with companies before and it's so aggravating because they're like, we can't even sell any plus size gear. So why would we carry it? And I'm like, are you showing people that you have it? Like, right. Are you showing it out loud that you have it? Cause if you're not, then no, you're not going to sell any of it. Cause we don't know. Like the automatic assumption for most plus size bodies is that you do not have our gear. Point blank, the end of story, like period, yeah. Is that we're going to walk into an outdoor retailer and not fit in anything. And if you're an outdoor retailer and you're like, yo, we carry up to like 7XL and you're not telling us, How are we supposed to know? How are we going to know? We can't. Yeah. We don't, you know?
And it's probably, I would assume it's intimidating to like walk into the store and like have to go up to talk to somebody and be like, hey, do you have a 4X? And like them, I guess like I'm an anxious person. So I'd immediately think they're going to reject me and be like, 4X. No, we don't have a 4X. And then you're like, well, crap, why'd I even come in here? Like, this is embarrassing.
Yeah. I mean, that's usually how I feel like I was treated. And it's interesting because like I'd go in and be like, hey, I need a 2X. Where are they at? And sometimes they'd have like male men's 2X, which was nice. Not nice because like it didn't fit my body. I'm curvy. But definitely aggravating. And if they didn't have it, they are a lot of times, sometimes I will say this, when I was on the AT, I'd go into Outfitters and they would not help me. I would have to like physically be like, Hey, I'm actually hiking. Like my backpack's right outside. Like, can you help me?
Yeah.
So yeah, that is embarrassing. And like, it's okay to be anxious. And a lot of people are. So if people are like, you know, they don't know, if you're not making it known, if you're not like, hey, we carry plus sizes, how are we supposed to know? So I think that's a huge barrier. And a great way to tell people you do is have your models be plus size as well, you know?
Right. I think I heard you call this the gear gap in the video, or maybe I read it somewhere. And I thought that was a really good way to kind of describe this situation, I guess. Again, it was just something I never really heard of. I wasn't privy to it. And so we're talking about representation, and we're talking about actually creating the gear in the first place. So mm-hmm. I guess in your mind, how do we hold outdoor companies accountable to move in that direction and to have bigger models? I think of like mannequins. The mannequin's always like 155 pounds, 6'4" white guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, you know, that's a very small percentage of the population, but this guy's wearing all the gear throughout the entire store in like weird positions. Like, yeah. Does it come all the way down to even like mannequin usage and commercials and social media? What's it look like for you?
So I will say, like, when I know that Nike's problematic, so we don't have to talk about it, but I will say though, that when I walked into a Dick's Sporting Goods one time, and in the Nike section, there was a plus size model or mannequin, I got so hype. I was like,
yeah.
Oh my God. Whoa. Like, this is insane. What? Oh my God. Like, I was like kind of looking around. Is anybody else seeing this? Like, oh, she looks like me. That's me. You know, like, I got so stoked. Like Pit Viper one time posted this like beautiful plus size woman in a bikini and their Pit Viper glasses. And I reached out to them and I was like, I'm telling you that I'm buying your glasses just because you have a plus size model. And they were like, hey, let us send you with you. And I was like, all right, sweet.
Beautiful. Like, yes. We love it.
So I like took some photos for them too, but yeah, I mean, it comes down to like, I mean, just treating us like normal humans. Like, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. It's hard because also like, yeah, the gear gap, you have to take in consideration the what is it called? Oh my gosh. Shrink it and pink it. Right. So you have like, you already have a problem there when your products are made for men, you shrink it, you make it purple or pink, and you label it female, right? Or curvy body, or women's body, or femme presenting body. And then if you're trying to make plus sizes and you're trying to upsize, you're just taking what you shrunk and put a pink thing on it and then make it bigger again. It's like, there's no consideration for actual bodies. And I think that like actually talking to, consulting with, measuring actual plus size bodies and understanding plus size bodies is really important, because men and women are different. What I fit into is not going to be the same thing that Andy Neal fits into. He's, you know, this awesome backpacker and hiker. He's plus size. I was just on his podcast actually.
Nice.
Yeah, but he's a big old boy, and we're not going to wear the same thing though. You know, right. If your plus sizes are just like, you know, men's or women's or whatever, like, we're not wearing the same thing. You have to take into consideration that there are different body types out there. So I think that although we're begging for an inch, the reality is we need a mile. You know, we're begging for like just anything at this point. We're just like, oh my God, please just make us something. But at the same time, it's like, it's not going to be enough until you actually create real gear, real like stuff, you know, real actual clothing that'll protect us and keep us safe while we're out here recreating. And guess what? I like, this is a joke that me and my other plus size like friends make. The more you make gear, the more we're going to buy it. Cause if we're out here like running around the woods, we're going to have to buy size down eventually.
Yeah.
I have like two sets of clothes. I have clothes that I wear like in the winter and spring months. And then I have clothes that I wear in the summer and fall, because I inevitably always lose weight in the summer and fall because I'm constantly raft guiding and doing things. And then I gain it back in the winter and spring. And that's fine. That's just how it goes. Like, that's totally unintentional weight loss. But yeah, if I could fucking, sorry, if I could buy, I try not to cuss on podcasts, but sometimes it comes out.
I encourage it.
Okay. Like, if you make my sizes, if you make two different sizes, I'm going to buy them both.
Right. Wow. So. And I didn't even think, this is another thing. Totally didn't think about this. Safety is 100% a concern because if it doesn't fit right, I think of PFDs. You know, if you have the wrong, you walk into Walmart and you're like, okay, I'm just going out on the river, whatever. I'm just going to get like their big PFD and that's it. Like, I'm just whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, all of a sudden that PFD doesn't fit right. And all of a sudden, like in a rescue situation, that becomes a liability. So when you mentioned in the video, like it's a safety thing too. I was like, holy crap. She's totally right. I've never thought about this before. So like things like, and you mentioned dry suits, like they're weird to fit in regardless. Like they got to, there's, everybody's different. How do you account for that? So like, that's a place where I totally agree that they could see, improvements in finding different people. So, I mean, like on the safety front, what a huge concern to have.
Yeah. I mean, it's really interesting because it's like really difficult to excel in these sports and get better and become a professional when you don't have the gear that allows you to do it year round or on a higher level. You know, like I'm still out here running class five, but you probably won't see me running class five in the winter. Actually, you will, because I'm going to take the risk anyways. But like, I'm always thinking about that. Like, it is much less of a chance that I will be running class five in the cold months. Like, I probably won't, just because I know that I'm putting myself at risk if I swim. I took a swim this February. I don't have a dry suit that fits well. And I was like, oh man, I'm really cold. And I was like halfway through the trip, I had to kind of tell my boat partners, I was like, hey, it's not crucial right now, but we got to get going, because if we stay out here for too long, it's going to get to a point where it's crucial. And, you know, I don't want to be a burden. And they were like totally understanding, totally chill. But that's the thing is, like, if I just had like a well-fitting dry suit, I wouldn't have to be like, I can't go boating. I don't want to go boating because I don't want to freeze to death.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Like, well, it takes a winter day and makes it completely like acceptable to go have fun in the water. It's totally a game changing piece of equipment.
Yeah. And then in the summer or in the spring, when like boating comes back around, I always feel like I'm like behind everybody that's been winter boating all winter. And I'm like, I gotta get back to like, you know, boating shape.
I know everybody has their own journeys, but you come off as a really confident person and like you just own like your persona. And I'm sure that like came through your own personal life experience and learning to love yourself and like meeting the right people and doing the right things and just like becoming empowered with who you are. Do you have like techniques and stuff to like keep you grounded and to like build confidence and just make you feel happy?
Yeah. I think that this is like a conversation I have a lot with people. Is like confidence. Actually, there's a new guide here and he's like 19 years old and he's a little chubbier. He's so precious. He's like a little brother. Yeah. But I get so upset with him because he gets down on himself a lot and it makes me so mad. But I think, like, honestly, it's so I think the AT definitely helped me with my confidence. Hiking has helped me with my confidence. Boating has helped me with my confidence. But not everybody can just, like, go out and, like, you know, not everybody likes boating. Not everyone likes hiking, right? But I think as far as, like, keeping your confidence, one technique that I like to do is I'll look in the mirror and just, like, check myself out. I'm like, oh, my God, girl. That ass is fat. It looks so good.
Yes.
I really will. I really do. I'll check myself out in the mirror. I don't really care. Like, some people, you know, I'm not some people's cup of tea. That's fine because I'm my own cup of tea. And, like, yeah, I'll genuinely just, like, check myself out. I started doing something recently, which is really interesting, is I started viewing myself as the beauty standard.
Like, yes, I really have this written down to bring up because I thought that was such a powerful line. Why not view yourself as the beauty standard? It was so amazing. What's that mean? Like, I mean, how do you do that?
I can't describe it other than just, like, I literally am like, I'm not, like, putting anyone else down, but I'll be like, dang, it sucks that they don't have, like, a big old belly to put their hands under. Oh, well. Yeah. But, like, it's not like I'm saying to them out loud that that sucks. It's like, I'm literally just being, like, me. And I'm kind of, like, the queen of my world. Like,
yeah.
And it sounds cocky, but it really does help when you, like, realize that you're the queen of your world. You don't, you're the king of your world. You're the, like, majesty of your world. You know, you are, like, your own beauty standard. You don't have to abide by anyone else's rules. And I think that that is one of the most powerful things you can do, because it's not like I don't still struggle with, you know, like, self-loathing and things like that and depression. I do. I very much do. But I'll take, like, days, like, self-care days. And sometimes what that looks like is working out really hard. Sometimes what that looks like is, like, a lot of yoga. Sometimes that looks like me getting a hotel room and laying in there for 12 hours and eating pizza and ice cream, like, and watching a Mexican drama. Like, you know, self-care for me, like, is a broad thing, but taking care of yourself, taking care of your mental health is a big one. But viewing yourself as the beauty standard, like, rewiring your brain is really hard. Like, you know, a big thing that I did was I stopped following so many people that didn't look like me. Mm-hmm. If they were athletes, that's great. If they didn't look like me, I wasn't following them. Even if I liked them, even if they were really nice or, like, maybe we connected, like, I just stopped following so many people that didn't look like me that encompass, like, beauty standard as far as, like, society's beauty standard.
Right.
I started following all these, like, plus size girls of every shape. I began to, like, unlearn my ideas of beauty standards taught classically by, like, colonizers. Like, you know, we really lost our idea of what beauty could be. You know, my body's shaped like this for a reason. My mom, my dad, my sister, my cousins, everybody in my family has a shape kind of like this. And I've often wondered what my ethnicity is. Like, what kind of, like, where did I come from in Europe?
Yeah.
That makes me shaped like this. Why wasn't, like, being big the beauty standard? Why did it become thin? I don't know. And it doesn't matter. It's okay to be thin. It's okay to be big. But, like, I think really accepting yourself and, like, following more people that look like you is really, really, really a win. Because then you can kind of circle back around. Like, now I'm on social media with people that don't look like me, and now I can, like, appreciate them too, you know, in a different way.
How do you see body positivity connecting with nature itself? I think you said in the film something along the lines of, like, we are nature, you know, you're part of this world. You're part of these trees and forests and rivers. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a beautiful message, because I guess nature doesn't really have a beauty standard. You can walk into a desert and be like, this is a desert and it's gorgeous. And or I can look out into the mountains and be like, that's a valley. I love it. And like every place has its unique, even like my brother lives in Chicago. So when I go to Chicago, I'm like, look at this urban jungle. This is great.
Yeah.
So I guess, how do you feel about those two worlds colliding?
I mean, you kind of like gave it, you know, a really good like explanation there. I mean, with the beauty standard, it's like, maybe you do prefer a jungle. Oh my God, Clint, I'm sorry. He's like backing up next to my van.
Is he getting dangerously close?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
You gotta be watching out for those people. You can never trust a raft guide.
No, you can't. They're so crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, I think that you put it really well. You know, my mom prefers the beach, mm-hmm. and I'm not a fan of the beach. I prefer big mountains, but yeah. I also like mountains that are green opposed to mountains that are bare.
Yeah.
So I think understanding that everybody has a preference when it comes to the outdoors, it's the same as like everybody has a preference for people and bodies, and like, it doesn't mean that I'm going to love the beach or those big bald mountains any less. Like, I'm still going to appreciate them and love them. And maybe I might learn to love them like more than the mountains I already love right now. You know, like, I think body positivity is like really interesting as like this comparison to the outdoors. The mountains really don't care. Yeah. The rivers really don't care. There's some of my most like vulnerable moments have been spent outdoors, just like completely naked. No one watching, or naked with my friends. Mm-hmm. And we're all out there. And that was really healthy too, was just getting naked with all my friends and like jumping in the water and swimming around in the rivers.
Skinny dipping is magically powerful.
Yes.
And there's something about being up with a bunch of river people. Everybody's like, let's get naked and get in the water. And then it's like full mm-hmm. moon and you're in this cool water. Yeah. There's definitely something powerful about that.
Oh yeah. And it's like, river guides are like kind of nice to be around. Like sometimes they're assholes, but like for the most part, they're actually really nice. Yeah. But yeah, I think like the juxtaposition of like, just feeling welcome and at home. I'm like looking out my window, like into the forest right now. Like, yeah, I mean, I feel very at home here in the woods, in my van. I know that I can step outside and just like, I don't have to worry about what the world thinks. I put my phone down. I don't have to look at the comments or nothing like that.
Yeah.
Just walk out in the woods and then get eaten by bugs. but like, you know, it's like sprinkling a little bit, and I love the way that the rain feels on my skin. And yeah, it's almost like it just doesn't matter. Like body positivity doesn't matter. Body liberation doesn't matter. Body acceptance doesn't matter, because you're just there.
Yeah.
You're just there in the woods, taking it in, breathing it in, and it's breathing you in too. You are being just as much like taken into consideration as you are taking the consideration, you know, these trees and these plants into consideration. You're creating for them something, and they're creating for you something. Mm. And, you know, I think like, it's almost like a release, you know. I'm a big advocate, obviously, for body positivity. It's almost just like this release of just like, I don't even have to worry about that. Like,
yeah,
I'm just here.
Existing together. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now you got a lot of things going on for you right now, and between guiding and adventuring and building brand partnerships and creating content, and you're a busy woman. But looking forward for you, what do you see as kind of like your moonshot, and you know, where you want to continue this conversation and where you kind of see the world moving as you push it forward with all your might?
I don't know.
That's a great answer. I love that answer.
I mean, I feel like I've said this before, and it's kind of like, oh my God, I don't even know. Like, ultimately, yeah. Like, I want to inspire brands to make bigger sizes and just be more inclusive. And I want to you know, have like a more loving and inclusive like outdoor industry. And I think for the most part, like people in the outdoor industry do listen. And a lot, I think a lot of people are seeing this happen. And I think a big way to change the industry is for not only plus size people to ask for this, but also like straight size people to be like, hey, my plus size friend wants to get out here and you're not making gear for them. So, you know, what the hell? So I think like ultimately it's still just like to entertain and inspire. I really like humor. I love like making people laugh and, you know, I just want to keep doing that and just like giving the world like something to like have fun with and inspiring people to go outside. I think it's really important. I maybe one day like start a brand or maybe a company. I don't know, like maybe, but also right now I'm kind of really content just being like a dirtbag raft guide and like hanging out with my buddies and drinking beers in the woods, you know, like
it's really hard to beat that.
Yeah.
I think I reference Matthew McConaughey's book like every second or third podcast because I love the guy himself. But he talks about in his book the default mode being humor. He says people that can find their default mode is humor, take themselves less seriously, help others take themselves less seriously. And then like when there's adversity, like your tire falls off your car and you're like, well, at least I still got three more. You know, you got the jokes. Like you've got the timing and all that stuff. And I think that's what's been fun watching you is you bring that default sense of humor into serious conversations and start the conversation. So that's awesome.
Yeah. I think it's easier for people to have serious conversations actually when they are like met with humor. I think when I first showed up here, I don't think people were like necessarily uncomfortable, but I think people definitely looked at me and they were like, oh, a big girl, like a plus size woman. And immediately I kind of like, there's a little side note. There's a thing called like fat armor. All fat people have it, whether it be like humor, glamour, or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
Mine's humor. And I genuinely do like making people laugh though, but you know, you hit them with a joke and then you kind of like, they laugh, they love it. It makes them more comfortable. It makes people more comfortable. Not that it's your job to make people comfortable at all, but if I want to have this conversation with people, I know they're not going to listen until I make them comfy. Right. And so I like shot them with a joke, made them laugh. And now like I've made friends here and they do listen to what I have to say and they do see my struggle and they do understand that like, you know, these things are problematic and things happen. And I think, you know, I had at the festival, I had a guy like kind of creeping on me and I had to like get my friend. I was like, Hey, will you help me? And he was like, yeah, what the fuck, you know? And like, holding my hand. I was like, you know, and it's like small things like that. And another one of our friends had the same thing. And he was like, oh my God, dudes are so creepy. And I was like, they can be. Yeah. But like, you know, that's a conversation too. Is like,
right.
There's a million conversations to have. And I think that it's really important to make people comfortable. And humor is definitely one of those comforts.
Well, to respect your time, I know we have a 2-hour separation, so it's getting pretty late over there by you. And then the later it gets, the more the bonfires happen and you miss out. So I've got 5 final questions for you. I ask these at the end of every podcast. The first one is super simple. Where can we find you on social media? And do you have anything that you want to plug or bring awareness to?
So I am on Instagram as Ashley's Adventure. I'm also on TikTok as Ashley's Adventure. I also have a website now.
Nice.
It is very new, so there's not a lot of content there, but ashleysadventure.com. You can definitely find my little website, and I'll be posting blogs, writing things and reviews, and kind of like giving safety tips to plus size people. And probably have some like, you know, different kind of writers get on there and talk about things too. And then I'll post like gear reviews and things like that. Other than that, I'm raft guiding at Ace in West Virginia. If you guys want to come rafting with me.
Like, yes.
As the summer kind of like heats up, I usually kind of dive out of social media and back into rafting and focusing on that. So But there are some things I'm doing. In August, we're having another body positive backpacking trip that we're leading in Escalante, Utah. So we have actually two back to back since our first one was so popular.
Wow. And so you, you grab a group of people who come out there and you guys meet and you go on a multi-day hike or?
Yeah. So it's 3 days in Escalante and it's very, it's beginner friendly. So if you're not a beginner, it's probably not for you. But if you're just feeling like, I want to go out there and just experience, you know, like a body positivity group, a body positive group. And you're okay with like, you know, doing a lot of beginner stuff, then yeah, come on out. Like, so you'll be able to find that on my website or I'll probably be posting about it on Instagram. So yeah.
Word. Cool. I'll tag all those things in the show notes. So anybody that's listening and they want to check those things out, I highly recommend following Ash on social media because it's super fun. It's like a roller coaster, right? Yes. You never know what you're going to get. Question number two, what is your favorite outdoor activity and why?
Oh, rafting.
I had a feeling.
Yeah. I love rafting. I love it so much. I love multi-day rafting. I love flat water. I love the river. I think it's just the river. I think about the river a lot. Even when I'm not on the river, I'm thinking about the river, just like the flow, the rocks, the rain, the water, everything about it. I think one of the most interesting things about humans is we don't have like, I think they're called like water receptor, like wet receptors. So we don't actually know that we're wet except for like the different kind of gravity and then temperature change.
Yeah.
And I think it's really interesting when you swim, you're just suspended in this like interesting space.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's like everything about the river is beautiful and wonderful to me. And I want to just protect and love all rivers. And it's a great metaphor for life. One time I was floating with my friend Pete and we were just going down the river and we were floating around. We had jumped out of the boat and we were just floating there. And he was like, you know, the river's a lot like life. Sometimes you have big rapids, you just got to get through. Sometimes you really fuck them up and you just got to get through it. You just got to get through it or else, yeah, you die. And I was like, you know what, Pete, you're right. Yeah, you do. Like right. Sometimes it's really calm and sometimes it's like gnarly.
Yeah, the you can solve all of the world's problems if you jump into the water and float with your friends. That's I'm 100% convinced of that.
Absolutely.
Question number three, where is your favorite place that you've ever been to outdoors?
Oh, man. That one's really hard because like...
I know. It's
like
a very open question.
I think... like the first thing that came to my mind was the Grand Canyon, but I don't think that's true because the second thing that came to my mind was the Chattooga River. And that's at home. That's home, which seems like, oh, like your favorite place outside would be somewhere you traveled to, right? But honestly, I think it's the Chattooga. I think that throughout my life, I'll always come back to the Chattooga and just find my friends and my family and my home there and the river that started it all. Yeah. So I think Chattooga. Yeah.
Weird. I love that answer. Question number four is a little tricky. What is something that you see today as a blessing that when it originally happened, you might've saw it as a mistake?
Originally, I experienced like some like negative feeling about my body and me on the river a long time ago. And I don't think I would have been driven as hard as I have been in my life to like do the things that I do if I didn't feel like I needed to prove them wrong in those moments. So 2016 was like a really hard year. I spent a lot of time in my room, cried a lot. I like, you know, just had a really tough time. And I look back at those moments and I still have like some like anger and like, I'm still trying to heal from it. It's been years, you know, but yeah, I think I started like when I got traction 2 years later, I think that I was like, all right, yeah, let's do it. Let's, prove everyone wrong. Let's do it. Yeah.
Let's rock and roll. I love that. Before question five, Ash, I just want to take a second to acknowledge you for absolutely leading the charge in this conversation. I think that you're influencing a lot of people across all different spectrums, age ranges, families, and people who need that push and need that role model. And like you said, the representation, they want to see somebody out there absolutely kicking ass. And so I love to see it. I think as far as a spokesperson go, there, you couldn't have a better person. And I'm really, really excited to keep in touch with you and see where this thing goes.
Hell yeah.
Question number five. You ready? Mm-hmm. All right. When it is all said and done, when you are dead and gone, and all we have left is your legacy, as we have a couple PBRs around the fire, what do you hope we're talking about?
I hope you're talking about something funny. I hope that, you know, at the end of the day, in reality, I hope that, like, my homies and people that knew me, like, yeah, I want to, like, make this big, like, change in the outdoors. I absolutely want that to be part of the conversation. But I'm just, like, I love, like, people's smiles and their laughter and, like, that's a big reason I love, like, humor and making people laugh is, like, there's nothing that makes me feel better and good and, like, happy and content and just, like, wanting to be where I'm at than, like, the conversations that bring laughter around the fire. Like, last night, I was watching my friends laugh and I just was like, I could live in this moment forever.
Yeah.
And, you know, seeing my parents laugh, my sister laugh, there's nothing better than seeing, like, my best friends or my partner or anybody like that, you know, like, yeah, I hope it's whatever it is, it's making you laugh.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Ash Manning, thank you so much for being on Camping Out, and we'll talk again soon. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, campers, that is that for this episode of Camping Out. I really hope you enjoyed listening to Ash talk about her own adventure and her journeys to come. I hope our conversation encourages you to look in the mirror today and know that you are beautiful and you are greatly loved just the way you are. If this conversation resonated with you or you think could resonate with friends or family, please go ahead and share it with them or share it on social media so everybody can hop in by the campfire and enjoy the podcast with us. If you haven't already, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review and tell us what you love about the podcast. We also want to hear from you on Instagram at @campingoutwithdan. It's a great spot to kind of interact and see behind the scenes and maybe even get into some contests here coming up, which is super exciting. All right, guys, our time is coming to an end here. So get out there, make a difference today, sometime this week, make somebody else smile. That's the challenge here. And we'll see you next week. Remember, adventure comes to those who go.